Hey, this is page 4 on your notes, Black Awakening, the internet course, The Black Awakening. We are now dealing with the Great Revolt. This is what it's all about right here. This page is kind of going to give you the explanation and kind of the, hopefully, the impact of what this Great Revolt, Black Awakening, Rebellion, whatever you want to call it. The reason I say Black Awakening is because this is the terminology that Satanic Chosen Ones gave me back in the early 90s. In the early 90s, when we were doing counseling and literally spending thousands of hours with cult multiples, those who had satanic ritual abuse, but they also had multiple personality disorder. These were the folks who had the purposeful creation of multiple personality disorder. Some of them came from the military and different bases. One individual we worked with showed credentials from the CIA, the DIA, and showed tremendous information and gave enormous amounts of insight to the agenda, the literal splitting, programming, bonding, demonizing, and the creation of these super soldiers. And they were one. This person could speak 4 to 5 other languages. They were very capable. Certain personalities could fight. Certain personalities could do rituals. Others were created. Well, we'll get into that later on as we describe the creation of a kind of a super soldier, an advanced human. We'll look at the way they look at it. But we will say right here that the issue is this mass revolt. Now, I want to tell you that in the literature, and if you look on the book page, in the literature of people like Alice Bailey, if you look at the literature of the Islam imams and the prophetic teaching or the insights of the coming Mahdi, you're going to see the streams flowing from Islam, the world of occultism, New Age concepts of cleansing the earth, the Masonic Albert Pike revelations of a great chaos before a new world order. In the biblical view, it's considered the Great Revolt, or as many translations now call it, the Rebellion. We'll come to that in a moment, or you can get your Bible out right now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is one of the foundational chapters because it gives kind of a panoramic view, a sequence, without putting all the details, but just the big major events. It's just as if God was giving the writer and giving to us these great big chunks of information. A lot of details are played out in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. But here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 specifically, chapter 1 deals with, again, believers finding relief from those who are persecuting you and harming you. When? When the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. The apocalypse or the epiphany of Christ, the visible return. But just prior before to the visible return is the parousia. That is the catching up of the saints. So when you begin to read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and by the way, I hope you have all your notes, and I want to encourage you that if you have questions, send me some questions, and I can try to answer those for you. I know that the best way, again, in the study is to pray, to ask the Lord for insight, to have your Bible at hand, to look at things, and to examine and to go further, because we are dealing with the serious issues concerning the end times. My personal belief that they are very close, that we in our generation, my personal belief would be that we will see this Black Awakening. We will see the apocalypse of the Antichrist to the world around us. And that would mean, if that is true, well, let me just ask you, do you believe that Antichrist is already existing? He already lives in the world somewhere? I mean, looking at all the world events, looking at biblical prophecy, do you see the Antichrist as being already out there? Obviously, he has to have a birth. He has to have a mother on the human side. And there has to be a bloodline and spiritual connection to this counterfeit incarnation. He's not going to become the Antichrist. He's born the Antichrist. Jesus didn't become the Christ. He was born the Christ. And this is going to be the same thing that's going to happen for the counterfeit Christ. And if he's already out there, this means that massive rituals and preparations and enormous secrecy. Let's just say, for example, that he literally is going to come to power when he's around 30 years old, kind of like Jesus when he came into ministry and he was anointed to begin ministry and was announced to Israel and revealed to Israel. And he had a forerunner, John the Baptist, so also look for the idea of forerunners. I know that Benjamin Krim speaks about the Maitreya, and the Maitreya is already here in the world, and that they're waiting for the revelation of Maitreya. So there's another spiritual theme, whether the Muslims, whether Benjamin Krim and the Maitreya, the New Age and their new evolved spiritual leader, the political desire. Alvin Toffler wrote years ago, in the third wave concerning the geopolitical dynamics of Europe, that Europe has a messiah complex, he called it, a crying out for somebody to come to power, to unify Europe and to lead Europe and to guide Europe. And he called it a messiah complex. And this is a political view of a well-known, world-renowned author and political analyst in the book The Third Wave. Alvin Toffler called it in Europe the sensation of a messiah complex. The Illuminati, the deep left-hand path occultism, all teach this. Albert Pike teaches it in his book Morals and Dogma. The concept of the need or the coming or the arrival of a super spiritual leader, a super political leader, and some would view it specifically among Islam that he would be a massive military leader also. But in Islam and all the rest of them, including Alice Bailey and also the Luciferians and the chosen ones that we've dealt with directly for 20 years, they believe that it's a massive chaos, a massive revolt, a massive bloodshed. The Mahdi, according to Islam, is not going to come to power and be revealed to the world so that he can rise up in Jerusalem and rule from Jerusalem. Well, that's where the real Christ is going to rule from in the millennium. And so the counterfeit to that is very, very clear. So the dark spiritual theme that you find unveiled from the territorial prince of Persia, Allah, or the underground left-hand path teachings, or again, the New Age, and the Luciferians, let alone the political yearnings. But then we also have the biblical stream, the biblical revelation, in which God gives the accurate glimpse, the accurate picture of events chunk by chunk, sometimes not filling in all the details. But there are events that are supposed to be noticeable. The Great Rebellion is massively noticeable. No one's going to miss it. The apocalypse of Antichrist, nobody is going to miss it. It's going to be absolutely, the world is going to be, just shocked into what is going to be occurring during those times. So the covenant with Israel, you're not going to miss these big, massive events that God is giving us. So God is giving us strategic glimpses. That's why we should look at some of the sequence. As we've already mentioned, the softening of the world through counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. The secret power of lawlessness that is already operating in the world around us. Literally operating. And for many of us, we can go back to the parable of the sower. When Jesus talks about the sower goes out to sow the word of God to the field, to the world, and some accept that word and become the wheat, become the believers in Christ. And then Jesus tells the story that following him comes the evil one at nighttime. And he also sows word or seed. And he also begins to create a direct people who are in relationship to him. And I would consider those people, Luciferians and many others that are in direct relationship to that agenda, but also the concept of these chosen ones. They know what they're all about, and they know what they're going to help bring about. And there's a great and horrible plan, a plotting. Matter of fact, let me touch on this, because when you read in 2 Thessalonians in the beginning of chapter 2, let me just read you a bit part of it, okay? Concerning the coming, the Greek word parousia, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. Now that is in reference to the catching up of the saints. You can read about that in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and 5. You can study the picture of the descent of Christ and the catching up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and left, we will be caught up to do what? To meet them in the air, to meet the Lord in the air. And from that point, Revelation 19 is when the Lord Jesus will descend. As you read last time, hopefully, Revelation 19:14, when the armies of heaven are on white horses. That's us. If you're a Christian, listen to me. That's you. You'll be a part of the armies that are following the rider on the white horse, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his visible apocalypse at the end of the age. And you'll see what he's going to do according to Revelation 19:19. We've been taken up. Everything else that needs to be done is on the face of the earth. And we've talked about that already. Here we're talking about the concept of Black Awakening. Let me say very clearly this. Number one, the term Black Awakening came literally from satanic super soldiers that I've dealt with. Chosen ones, those who have been through on the military side and the satanic coven side. They have been generationally chosen. They are packed with demonic presence and power on many of the internal sub-personalities. They can speak multiple languages, including ancient Pictic, or occultic languages for rituals and also for keeping information. They're enormously versed in weaponry, in poisons, in chemicals. Many of them have military background and training. And so as we've gone through the years dealing with this and holding freedom encounters and literally trying to help them come to wholeness in Christ and break the demonic presence and the programming, we've also had them battle the handlers who would continue to pull them back and reprogram them and readjust them. Let me tell you what happened one time. In working with one that came out of Fort Bragg, they had a massive military background. They had a law enforcement background. They had abilities on the inside, like I said, in the area of weapons and chemicals, and they were very good in encryption and ciphers and just so many things. They were highly trained. They gave me manuals. Matter of fact, it was this person that gave me in my hands the actual full manual that came from Fort Bragg out of the late 50s, 60s, I believe, with Colonel Shannon and the Earth Battalion Force, this New Age concept of the creation of new warriors with telepathy and spiritual powers and all the rest. This is the same place that Colonel Stubblebine would have come. And this is the same place where numerous satanic chosen ones. Maybe if you're a counselor, you've engaged, and they said, "Well, we went to Fort Bragg, or we came from Fort Bragg." They have a tremendous psychic warfare unit, PSYOPs, and they've had it there for years. But there's also tremendous information and evidences that point to this is where the Nazi doctors were also brought. In the 50s, there were the programs of Monarch and MK Ultra. Anyway, this person brought to me the information and talked about, and over the time, just would reveal pieces of the story. And one day we were engaged, and I told them that I was praying for great spiritual awakening. like in the days of Jonathan Edwards and so forth, where God struck with his power the entire nation of England. And then in the awakenings, it struck the United States, literally when millions of believers were swept into the kingdom of God by a tremendous, dramatic pouring out of the presence and power of God. And literally, it was known and seen and evidenced and so forth. Well, this person began to tell me about the Black Awakening, and that a great revolt's going to is planned, and they're part of it. And as we worked on the internal structure of her sub-personalities, I engaged those who were warriors, those who told, you know, showed me in their programming and in their development how, when the day of activation, the triggering occurred, how numerous sub-personalities who held different programming and held different levels of satanic power empowerment would join together and then surface and turn them into literally a person who has 10 times the strength, programmed to fulfill their agenda, the agenda that has been given to them. And the agenda would be to kill, to create chaos, to do a number of things which we'll talk about, and they are to unleash hell on earth. They're to unleash a tremendous chaos. As a matter of fact, this person would quote it to me in the Latin, and they would make references of Albert Pike and others concerning the belief of this Black Awakening, or this a new world order can only come about out of the chaos. That a great chaos must occur first. And the chaos, in their terms, was a tremendous collapsing of the current system and a great bloodshed and a regime change. That's what the Black Awakening is all about. Now, there really are two tremendous events before the parousia of the Lord. Before the Lord Jesus Christ gathers up his church and then returns visibly to the earth, there are two events. Now, this is true whether you're a pre-tribulationist, mid-tribulationist, pre-wrath, post-tribulationist. It doesn't matter. Biblically, follow the sequence. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians is very clear. Concerning, this is all about the parousia, the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to him, the direct relationship to our being gathered to him. Notice what he says, the Word of God: we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Now the issue is this. This is such a striking and important thing that there's no doubt that seducing spirits would love to come and give false prophecies, false visitations, false insight, even among Christian congregations in the early days, to say, hey, this great event already occurred. You missed it. You know, you missed everything. And it literally made the Christians there kind of like Chicken Little running around with their heads cut off almost. I mean, just really frantic. And first of all, the Word of God says, don't become so easily unsettled. It was really kind of a rebuke to the believers, letting them know, listen, you've already received the teaching. You already have the Word of God. Listen, when you have the Word of God in your life as a foundation, and you're firm about that foundation, there should be things, you know, you should not be easily shaken, easily unsettled. We should become more and more, like in 1 Corinthians 15, Christians of great courage that are immovable, that we should become strong. That God not only is our rock and he's our fortress, he's also our deliverer, Psalm 18. So when you read this, look at the sequence very carefully. Very carefully. And if you like to look up the Greek, look it up in the Greek, because this Greek word that refers to, here it's translated a rebellion. In a number of translations, even in other languages, it's translated rebellion also. In some of the old translations, like the Williams and the Latin Vulgate and Jerome's and so forth, even the phrase "great revolt" is actually used in some of the translations. So when you maybe you have a translation that simply says the falling away or the departure, Now, very clearly, and I'll just make this very clear, it has no reference, the word departure, or if it's translated that way at all, if you look it up in the Greek, there were some that tried to really stretch this and make it sound like this is talking about the rapture or the catching away. The rapture is just literally the transliterated word. It comes from the Latin. The actual Greek meaning the catching up or the catching away, in reference to 1 Corinthians 15, that the mortal puts on immortality. There's in a flash, on an atomic level, there's such a power that is exerted that the dead in Christ are raised and immediately glorified, and those who remain who are in Christ are then caught up to meet the Lord where? In the air. And we then would also be instantly glorified, and that's the ultimate culmination, as I've said, concerning salvation. And that is an awesome thing that we look forward to. But this is very important to look at the context. Paul, you know, being led by the Spirit of God to write, is dealing with this as, hey, we've already taught you this. We've already told you this. You should have this down as a firm foundation. There is a clear sequence to these big to the big picture, the great big events that are going to occur. Notice what is said, referring to the parousia and our being gathered, the day of the Lord. Listen what it says. Verse 3, God tells all of us, and this is said again and again, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day, there's great emphasis here, that day will not come, referring again to the parousia, and the catching up of the saints. That day, and this is referring then, you know, from that then, the visible return, that day will not come until the rebellion occurs, event number one, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, apocalypse number two. It quickly defines him. But let me stop right there. The parousia and the epiphany and the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ will not occur until two primary events. Now, I know how some of us have been taught that the first event is just a falling away of Christians, a simple slip-sliding away of believers, you know, and they become liberal and compromised and so forth and so forth. Listen, that's been true since the early days of the Church of Laodicea. Very, very much like a slipping away and very much out of it spiritually. This is true in many generations where believers have become lethargic and backslidden and so forth. That's why revival's needed. That's why revival strikes, to bring believers back to the original state that God wanted them to be. Committed to Christ, filled with the Spirit, accomplishing the Great Commission. Jesus promised that he would not return until the gospel would be preached to every single people group, tribe, language, nation, around the world. And according to the U.S. Center for World Missions in Pasadena, where I had visited and talked with one of the staff members named Phil, when he gave me this great big picture of the billions of people and how many people groups that Christianity has reached and how many. At that time, he was telling me over 2 point some billion have not been reached with the gospel, and that most of them have not yet received the message in their own languages. Now, there's a tremendous revival and tremendous work and missions going on all over the world. Think about China for a moment. There may be close to 400 million strong believers in China. 400 million in the, I don't want to say just underground church, but they do have to practice late at night in alleys and very quietly. And they've been reaching one by one, and the missionary work continued in the body of Christ. God is, you know, Jesus said he's going to build a church. I don't care what anybody says when they throw so many word curses on the church nowadays. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Listen, my friend, the church of Jesus Christ is indestructible because of the sovereign origin and care and completion that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to it. Matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, you know what that verse says? It says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the very day of Christ." That's in reference to your spiritual life. But a sovereign picture is painted in the New Testament that the body of Christ will be there when the Lord Jesus descends, catches, you know, raises the dead in Christ up, and then catches those who are alive, transforming them in the twinkling of an eye, and meeting them in the air before he descends down all the rest of the way to annihilate the Antichrist, to render powerless the works of the Antichrist, destroy the troops. Well, Revelation 19:19. That is an event. That is a massive event that's coming, and but it's being prepared for now. What I was going to tell you earlier was simply this: one of these that had a high level military background, was one of the most powerful satanic super soldiers I've ever met. In our discussions, many times it was kind of like we would have numerous meetings. Spending hours and hours in discussions over a six-year period. And then this was along with dealing with dozens of other satanically ritually abused multiples or cult multiples, or as they call themselves, chosen ones. They also use the term Babylon working babies in reference to their working powers to initiate Babylon and to bring the prostitute of Babylon into presence. Kind of like the Amalantra working that Jack Parsons and Aleister Crowley did. Hubbard may have been involved concerning that in trying to raise what they were thinking was the goddess of Babylon. And they may have opened doors that they had no idea. But again, when the demons lead people into those rituals, they don't tell them everything. The demonic world really knows what it means for their eyes only. And they know what it means not to give all the information, just to get people to give them enough to get them to do their work, to allow them to come in and accomplish the agenda. So whether you're looking at it from the Islamic view, the Mason, Luciferian, Albert Pike view, the New Age view, left-hand path occultism, Alice Bailey, others, Benjamin Krim, the Maitreya, whether you're looking at it from the political sense that chaos is in the air and that the world is crying for regime change and something has to change, and the push of the New Age for a New World Order, which would mean the dropping of national borders. There's already a New World Order charter. You can read about the UN charter, and you can check so much of this out. It's already in the working, and the great invocation at United Nations is being done, and great ritual, as Father Malachi Martin has described, has been done in the Vatican at St. Paul's in the invocation of the Antichrist. Remember, this is an incredible secret, super secret satanic power that is operating in the development of this. And it's operating under the surface of most human perception and radar, in the sense of even knowing what's going on. I don't know if you remember a number of years back, before the USSR, before Russia literally collapsed, and a massive regime change occurred there. There was not a whole lot of predictions about it. And it just kind of all of a sudden sprung on the world around us. And the declaration of the Cold War and Reagan and everybody, you know, that the West won and that outspent them and so forth and so forth. They spent billions of dollars in the development of psychic warriors also. And a lot of information about that. And the United States has done that. So we've all been, both Russia and the United States and the UK have all been seduced into the creation of weapons and super soldiers and technology that literally the Antichrist needs when he gets here. He needs it to be able to clear the way for his arrival. Now, the clearing away for his arrival involves both not just a sense of bloodshed to clear the way so he can come to power, but the bloodshed involves it's a spiritual thing. It's really to them like a massive ritual in which so much bloodshed and violence and fear. Now think about, you know, again, what I know from all the discussions with those who've been through satanic ritual, the ritual manuals or Book of Shadows that I've been able to read from people that turn them over. Listen, when I read one of those individual rituals in which the whole goal is to produce terror and fear and pain and bring bloodletting to continue to heighten the energy of that terror and fear, because the demonic feeds on that, and the more you can draw the fear and the pain and the terror, the deeper or the greater the power demons are. More demonic presence, more demonic power can be drawn from the longer and prolonged and the bloodshed. If you can keep the person alive and just, I mean, it's a horrific thing, but it's where the demons revel. It's a doorway in which they're able to then come into and then give powers and favors to those who do the rituals. And by the way, who trained them, who taught them how to do the rituals? But the demons themselves that have inspired how to do rituals with precision in order for humans who've been given over to do these, gaining some favor for themselves, but again, they don't know really what's occurring. The other side, as I've said before, in biblical revelation, we see them massing. Their troops are just literally massing at the border of the thin veil between us and them. They're coming through the greatest proliferation of occultic literature in the 60s. The most the deepest and broadest manifestation of demonic presence in human history concerning the critical mass and the day of the great revolt. The day of the great rebellion and the great revolt is simply this: that massive anarchy, chaos, murder, slayings, bombings, poisonings will be occurring on a mass scale. If you think of Columbine, what occurred there and how horrible it was, the human carnage. If you think about the man that walked into a Baptist church in Texas a few years ago and began to shoot everybody with his 9mm until he was stopped. If you think in terms of the shootings, and especially right now, concerning Virginia Tech and the 32 that died from Cho, that killed, regardless of his background, his emotional state, and everything else, that may have been a cover. That may have been evidence of mind control and manipulation going on, as many cult multiples and chosen ones have, emotional and psychological issues. But he killed like an assassin. He killed like an assassin. Now let me ask you something. The Antichrist, in my view, in the book of Daniel, and as we take a look, I really believe this too. I think you need to really study this, pray through it, think about it. Part of the issue is that he cannot come to power in Europe and draw the nations and all the stuff, because there still is a superpower that can bring resistance. So part of the plot, part of the plan is dealing with the United States, dealing with England, and bringing a collapse in order to push forward a global geopolitical economic system in order to unify the world. And I want to tell you that the Black Awakening, this great revolt, if you look it up again in the Greek and you take it all the way back to its original use was in the Greek polises, where there were leaders and there were people ruling the society or the city, And there was another group that didn't like what was going on, and so they had been plotting for years and getting more and more people secretly behind the scenes to eventually, when the day came, when the plans were all, you know, in place, they would all of a sudden unleash a coup. A coup that would literally wipe out the existing political leaders and not just wipe them out and leave it blank, but instead wipe them out so that they can take over. Literally, a regime change. And so it was used primarily in a political, military sense, in which there was a surprise attack from the hidden underground. That's what this word is all about. That's what God is showing us here. The parousia of the Lord in our being gathered to Jesus, that day will not occur until the great revolt, the Black Awakening, as Satanists and Luciferians call it, until that event occurs. And secondly, the apocalypse, the visible unveiling of the Antichristo, the man of lawlessness, to the world. So it's very important that we see this. Because if you and I are looking at the timetables now, the sequence now, and if you're like I am and millions of believers around the world, that you believe that there may only be, you know, so many years left. I don't know if there's even 10 or 15 years left. And there's going to be an incredible, rapid pace to the events that occur. The frog in the kettle issue of spiritual killing our culture through this spiritual satanic warming up, eventually, you know, putting such a spiritual fog and deception and seducing. Remember again, 60-some million New Agers, 100,000 covens maybe in the United States. Add up all the cults and a sect and Santeria and the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and add up everything, the different styles of Satanism, non-traditional, traditional, all of those together. And you're coming up with 150 million Americans who are embracing an alternative spirituality whose root is the spiritual lie of a promised spiritual evolution. The carrot before the donkey. They're going after the carrot. They'll never get to it. Satan has never been able to bring anybody to deification, to Christhood, to anything like that at all. That is the lure. Instead, he's going to use the world through a increasing and drawing down mind and heart with satanic powers, just like left-hand path initiations. Each initiation takes you a step lower and darker. And so the sequence in 2 Thessalonians 2 of the counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing on a mass scale that is occurring. Then there will be an unmistakable event. Now, I've already mentioned this. Let me mention this under point A on page 4. The Greek word for rebellion, you can study it all you want to. You can look at it. You'll see where this actual word is also used in the book of Acts in reference to Moses in the Old Testament and the terms used in the Septuagint of the Old Testament. In reference to when Moses went up to the Mount of God to receive the Ten Commandments, he was gone so long that down below, the people went into mass rebellion. It was unmistakable. It wasn't a hidden thing. It wasn't a slow, over 40, 50 years procedure. It occurred literally when they initiated saying, where's this Moses fellow? He left us, you know, and the whole thing was to rebel against Moses, to revolt, and to literally unleash a coup. So this term now is used in the religious sense in the same way. An unmistakable regime change. When Moses came back down from the mountain, what did he see? He saw total anarchy. He saw anarchy. He saw them reveling in demonic worship and in orgy, and he saw them going back to what they once had. The golden calf had already been made. They were already worshiping. They had completely rebelled against the work and plan of and will of God. Everything was turned around. So that's why I'm saying it was unmistakable. And it was a revolt. It was a rebellion. It was a coup. And that's where this terminology comes from the original Greek use of political, military, literal takeover. And then in the religious sense with the Moses occurrence in the Old Testament, and now here it is in the New. The Spirit of God is referring to a massive event. So look at the context. It's clearly doesn't speak a word. Now listen, I was taught at Moody Bible Institute, you know, there were suggestions of bigger, broader rebellion, but the primary mentality was, well, this is a falling away of Christians. No, there is a somewhat falling away of those from the faith. We read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. There is a sense of, and the reason for that is the seducing spirits, the rise and manifestation of that counterfeit, signs, wonders, miracles, false teachers, false doctrines, all that kind of stuff that is coming out will draw many from the faith. That's why, again, I've mentioned already, you'll see many Catholics and many Lutherans and Episcopals and Anglicans and others, and people that seem to say they had no real dynamic power. Were they ever born again? Well, I'm not going to deal with that issue right now. I'm simply going to say this, that according to 1 Timothy 4:1, that this slipping away of believers in the last days is due to the rise and direct working of seducing spirits creating didache, counterfeit, kind of like counterfeit Bible. Whether that's the secret doctrine of Helena, Alice Bailey's writings, go study the Theosophical Society, study the works of the Masons. And you're going to find doctrines of demons everywhere. The New Age is packed. The Course of Miracles. All kinds of literature that spirits have guided and directed their hands. And all of the teaching synchronizes down to one point. Reject the real living Christ. Take hold and embrace the truth of spiritual evolution and the eventual arrival at deification or deity, the evolving spiritually of humanity and consciousness and the arrival of a whole new state of being. That lie flows from Genesis chapter 3 when the fallen cherub said that you will be like God, that God was withholding, and that if you do this, so there was the lie there. And again, in every case, the deception brings horrific destruction. Horrific destruction. Again, it reminds me of the Judas issue in the end run. Aleister Crowley, in the end of his life, died maybe insane, crazed, diseased, in poverty. And so did Nietzsche, who Hitler relied upon and so many relied upon. Schopenhauer and so forth, and Wagner. So many of them that believed in that concept. But the concept of spiritual evolution or Luciferian doctrine has at its core, you must reject the living God in order to accept. You can have one or the other. And that's true on our side. You can't serve two masters. And I hope that you are very clear as a believer that you've taken up the cross to follow Christ. And that maybe some of those who have taken this internet course and eventually get the information, I know once again that even some of the chosen ones will do this purposely for reconnaissance. There are those who listen to the weekly broadcast materials just out of reconnaissance. Some of them have contacted me. Some have shown up here out of other states. You got to understand, this is actually going on. In the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you look at the context, there's not one iota, not one shred here of the concept of Christians falling away. It is about a satanic initiated revolt. A revolt that leads the way. The revolt will occur first, the chaos will occur first, and then the apocalypse of Antichrist, who brings in a new world order, a regime, a new regime. We must understand that as part of the sequence. So before we are ever out of here, and before the parousia, epiphany, or apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, before that day, before that ever occurs, two events. Now I mark down under B, it's like the hurricane. It's like in New Orleans. It is without question. People were told that it's coming, that it's coming, that it's coming, to get prepared, to get ready. People were told to evacuate. Many people stayed. Many people thought they can outlast it. It wouldn't be that bad. They were warned again and again and again and again. And look what happened in New Orleans. That is an amazing, but also unmistakable. You could even go down there now and see that it was very unmistakable. Clearly unmistakable. It was an event that was seeable, fillable, that it had its catastrophic effect on that city and surrounding areas. The tsunami that occurred in southern Asia, the tsunami in Sumatra that literally almost came out of nowhere. Now let me tell you something. The tsunami that occurred there, Sumatra and that whole area, from the shifting of tectonic plates, probably because of the decay of creation, Romans chapter 8. Things are breaking down, my friends. Even the earth, the structure of the earth is in decay and breaking down. There will be not only corresponding violence with the rise and manifestation of demonic presence, but there will be a corresponding fracturing of the weather and events. The world changes and the tectonic plates, and of course what Jesus talked about, earthquakes and everything else. Well, think about the tsunami that struck. Now, when I first, you know, got up and heard about it and saw the pictures, let me tell you something, that immediately reminded me of the Black Awakening as it was described to me by Luciferians, by chosen ones, by people who have been in training and preparing for years for this event. That reminds me more than anything else. The people are out on the beach swimming. The people are at the resort. People are doing all their stuff. People are living and moving and doing whatever else. And then almost out of nowhere, to the absolute shock of hundreds of thousands of people and to the rest of the world, the tsunami struck and took the lives of thousands and changed the lives of hundreds of thousands. And let the world know that we are not in control. The Black Awakening will be very similar. It'll be so catastrophic. It'll be an event that is so broad, so wide, it will be absolutely unmistakable. Now, listen, maybe some of you, but others have written to me during the VTech, the Virginia Tech shooting, or other shootings, the mall shootings and so forth. And they write to me and say, Russ, is this it? Is this the Black Awakening? Do you think this is the beginnings of it? Listen, there may be test projects that are run. There may be slip-ups, called multiples or chosen ones who get triggered wrongly and their programming kicks in and they do it and they do what they're supposed to do as far as kill and slaughter and assassinate. But no, we have not yet seen the Black Awakening, the Great Revolt. The Great Revolt will occur in the United States in every city, in every state across the nation. It'll occur in Canada, in the UK, and throughout Europe, and other parts of the world. It will occur probably, it'll initiate on one specific day. It may come in waves over a week to where, you know, waves of these super soldiers are triggered and unleashed and begin to create mayhem. You want to get the picture? Here's the picture. 9/11, you're going to see buildings blow up in state. Every single state, there'll be buildings blown up, government buildings, and there'll be churches that are set on fire. There'll be assassination of Christian leaders and of Christians, and there'll be shootings of political leaders in Congress and the White House and other places. Law enforcement, there'll be a sabotage in military and law enforcement. Cult Multiples program released and activated there will take out other military people and others, law enforcement. The electrical grids will be messed with and collapse. Communications will collapse. Poisons and chemicals will be released. Let me tell you something. The Black Awakening is unmistakable. The Black Awakening, the Great Revolt, the biblical revelation that God is giving us a picture of this massive revolt, so big and so broad and so wide, it needs to be so that it can pave the way for the apocalypse of the Antichrist. He will strike hard, he will strike broad, wide, deep, he will strike in such a way that Muslims will think, this is it, the bloodshed is here, Mahdi has risen. New Agers will believe that a cleansing has come and the new spiritual leader who's going to unify all the religions and all the spirituality is going to come under one rule. Political people crying out for with a Messiah complex, all of a sudden, somebody's come to save us. Listen, he creates the chaos, he creates the bloodshed, he creates the collapse and the elimination of resistors. He creates it all so that he can step in to give another activation to shut it down and to save the day and to save the nations and to bring everybody together and to demand martial law and demand new laws and to outlaw, you know, what they will consider is religions that have hurt humanity, and he will initiate immediately, you know, taking care of people. The economic system will be, in their view, brilliantly changed. He will be economically brilliant. He will be politically brilliant. He will speak like no one. He will make Hitler look like a stammering fool in comparison to this boastful mouth of the little horn, the Book of Daniel. You must understand, this person is now Satan's counterfeit incarnation. This now is the voice of an ancient hate that has risen to draw the world. And it's right off the back of a slaughtering, a bloodshedding, a violent frenzy, a killing. Listen, the killing fields, I literally will tell you now that they believe millions will die in this process. Millions. There are people that believe that millions should be cleansed from the earth right now to save the earth because we're overpopulated. And so when you think of all these streams and think of all this, some people are going to think this is a very good idea. Like a hurricane, like a tsunami, like 9/11. 9/11 was unmistakable. But it's not going to be just one building in one little area. It's going to be, again, across the nation. That's what they said. Now, the question we're going to deal with here is this. Undersea, it involves deception and slaughter. It involves, again, law enforcement officers who are cult multiples that are sleepers, that have the programming and the assassins deep down, that have the assignments already panned out on the inside, that when the day of activation comes, when the national level or even, again, multinational level of activation occurs, then whether it's like in waves over a week, whether it occurs all in one day, it will be so unmistakable. The news media's they won't even know what to do with it. They will not even know how to handle it. They will not be able to cover everything. Anarchy on the streets. Anarchy in the neighborhoods. Neighbors shooting neighbors, it seems like it. There will be bloodshed everywhere. There will be panic. There will be the smell of death. But realize something. From the satanic and Luciferian side, this is a major ritual. This is a major ritual that will literally draw hundreds of millions of demons into manifestation, into power, that will literally bring a spiritual power that will flow with the Antichrist, the false prophet eventually, and the whole new regime. This will energize and help cause a massive shift and regime change immediately. That is what the Black Awakening is all about. That is what the Great Revolt is all about. That, my friends, is what Lucifer is all about, and it's plans concerning a global drawing into the need for a world savior and a world political system and a world religious system that kind of in their view, saves the world. And we'll get into the first 3.5 years of the Antichrist later, but that's it. That's what we're talking about. Two events will have to occur prior to the parousia of Christ and believers being taken up and before the visible return. And those two events are the mass great revolt, the coup for regime change. And we're going to talk about that in detail in the next few sessions. Let me just say here under E, it will touch everything. It will touch schools. Number one, schools, just like we've already seen. It'll happen in schools with young people who will also have... Listen, I've dealt with young people who've been split and programmed, and I've seen it happen. I've watched, I've discussed with inside sub-level personalities who were assassins, excuse me, who know of these days. It will happen in churches. When all of a sudden, for example, this is on a Sunday, all of a sudden someone stands up and begins to shoot people. What are you going to do? In a government building, in a mall, law enforcement, on the streets, people driving cars, explosions at bridges, water tables, fresh water tables poisoned, chaos and anarchy in military because military men all of a sudden seems like they're killing each other. Nobody knows who's in control. Everything's going to be shut down in general society. There's going to be just anarchy on the streets. Think in terms of the late 60s, also of Los Angeles and the riots that occurred. This is going to be beyond riots. This is going to be just who's going to be able to stop? Now, this question I have at the bottom of the page here is this: who does it, and who's behind it? Please understand, I've said this before, and I keep trying to get everybody to really dig into this issue. Why are there 4.5 million diagnosed cases of satanic ritual abuse? Why is there another estimated 5 million people who have multiple personality disorder or who have programming in sub-personalities within? How in the world could be in every psychiatric ward in the United States, like where I live, in all of the hospitals, the psych wards have multiples that are trying to get help and trying to get, you know, whatever. We have it all across the United States. And so if you have 4.5 million that are in psych wards, if you have another 4 or 5 million that are what are called, they call it being intact, that they're sleepers, that the upfront person has no idea what they are, other than they're just living and working in society, and they're just kind of staying nonchalant and under the radar, and they're just living their life. But when the day of activation comes, and I've seen this happen in front of my face. I've been attacked when it's occurred with a knife, with a needle, with fists, with a physical attack from a number of different ones that have switched. And we've seen this occur again and again and again. But on the day of activation, when the Black Awakening occurs, They have their pre-programmed targets. They're going to go after people for elimination. And I'll talk about this in the next session in a detail. But I want you to think through, and I want you to pray through, and I want you to consider why there are so many cult multiples. They call them chosen ones in the UK, in Europe, and in the United States, and in Canada. Primarily those nations. They're all over the place. And what I've found in the last 20 years in thousands of hours of interactions with these individuals and through deliverance sessions, when satanic powers are broken and then sub-personalities come forward, they have a power encounter with the living Christ and then they begin to tell the story. And by the way, the majority of all the chosen ones, the real ones that have military background, every single one of them have a personality inside that speaks fluent German, believes in a coming new Führer, and another reign, a thousand-year reign. Who does it? Pre-programmed satanic super soldiers who are living down the street from you, that are in the churches, that are in law enforcement, that are in government, that are working there in the mall, that are working there in the school. That's who's going to do it. Who's behind it? Obviously, the Luciferians, the elite, the Brotherhood, the ancient Brotherhood, those who hold the power and the money and the satanic powers. This is Russ, ShadowTheDarkness.net, in the course, The Black Awakening.